Certainly should not have been an embarrassment to the Dublin government. I wish you well in your efforts to obtain a licence. Best wishes to all at Radio FX for the future. Victor Miller, Maha Ramon, near Larne in County Antrim.
Trevor?
This is Bob Jobson from Dent in Cumbria. I have just heard the sad news on the Caroline information line. I will be writing in support. I do hope that you will be able to continue. If you do go, I for one will miss you badly. I've thoroughly enjoyed everything you have done ever since I first heard you 7 years ago. What more can I say? I'll write you shortly. Goodbye.
Yeah, my name is John Harry, calling from Manchester. I would like to know more information about Radio FX, if it's closing down and when it is a specific date. I've already signed up here in Manchester and I've told quite a lot of my friends about it. So I hope everything goes well and you can stand here.
Hello, my name's William Shimmin from Much Wenlock in Shropshire. I'm really sorry to hear about the impending closure of Radio FX. I've listened since the original service began in 1988, and Radio FX has clearly demonstrated the viability of commercial shortwave broadcasting. With even the former Eastern Bloc countries opening up their shortwave facilities to commercial enterprises, there can be no excuse for the UK government sanctioning the continuing BBC shortwave monopoly. Radio FX has shown the way forward. Good luck. I'm sure you'll be back, but in the meantime, thanks a lot. I'm going to miss Radio FX.
Hi, my name is Gerald Gray from 7X. I've just today sent off a letter to the Minister of Communications in Dublin, and shall shortly be sending one off to my MP, Mark Wolfson. I was really shattered to hear that Radio FX was closing. I really felt very sad to hear that news, because I listened to you way back in 1988, and I was very sad when you disappeared then, and only overjoyed when you managed to come back on the air. And now that you're going again, it really is rather sad. But I hope that there's more to it than meets the eye, and that you will manage to get a licence from somewhere, sometime. Because the programmes you put out, particularly sports programmes, are really superb. As I said in my letter, which I'll be sending you a copy, it would be very difficult, if not impossible, to find all the items that you come across elsewhere, to actually get all the subscriptions, to have the time to go through them, to tune into Radio Netherlands and things like that. It would be quite an undertaking. So having a digest all done for me by Radio FX is very useful, and it's nice to hear people's views and things like that. So I shall really miss the service when it's off the air. I wonder whether you can manage to get on the Astra satellite. Shortwave is great, and I wouldn't like to see it go, even if you do manage to get a licence. But I think it would be nice to be on satellite as well. Reception tends to be very much easier. Certainly, if you have a satellite dish, you can get it perfectly, by definition, virtually. And there's also another untapped market, I think, with satellite. Part of the market, no doubt, is shortwave, and I'd like to see that continue, particularly to get people around the world. But also on satellite, it would be very handy for all sorts of reasons to have it coming through there. So perhaps if you had a world with quality European FM or Euronet, it would be nice to see if somebody could come along with that. I'm sure you'd also get some advertising, because with a pretty specialised sort of audience, there must be a market there to get advertising products, I would have thought. The people that are listening to Radio FX don't have it on as background music. They're going to be listening and hearing every word. So I thought that would be pretty attractive for advertisers. If you get a specialised market, and one that listens regularly, that must be worthwhile. So I'd like to see Radio FX certainly continue on satellite, even if it can't continue on shortwave. Anyway, many thanks for the service you provided. It's very much appreciated, and it'll be very sad when you're not there. But I hope sometime you'll get back on the air, because there's certainly an audience out there waiting for you to come back. Regards, Gerald Gray from 7X.
Yeah, this is Robert Manu from Calais in France. I am one of the root editors of Farigo, and it's really a pity that you must live in here. We know that story with Radio Caroline, you know. And we support you, and I am a very good listener from you. It's a pity to see one or another free radio disappear from the airwaves. So I wish you the best, and be sure here on the continent we support free radio all over Europe. Thanks a lot, and God bless you.
Radio FX. This is Paul Watt from Radio Ireland International, from bringing up from Chelmsford in Essex. I was sorry to hear that you're leaving the airwaves. I hope your fight's not in vain, and the only thing I can say is just censorship, and nothing more than censorship.
We have wrote to the Irish government and we have wrote to our local MP and we'll keep pestering for your right to exist on shortwave. Hope to hear you back on the air as soon as possible. Take care.
Ringing from Humberside in the sort of East Midlands of England. My name's Clive Barwood. I've been listening to your broadcast for some time. I must say how sorry I am that radio attacks are going off of the air. It's the height of hypocrisy, really, for the Irish government to claim that radio facts are, in fact, causing them embarrassment, when I would have thought the biggest embarrassment to the Irish people was the Radio Tower stroke Atlantic 252 project, which wasted, really, the resources, in my opinion, of the Irish people, because that licence was given to Ireland for Ireland and would have been much better served in the utilisation of that transmitter for the use of expatriates abroad who said that they could never hear RTE radio because of such things as Caroline and Laser, and when they go off the air, the Irish government promptly put the power down of the Tullamore transmitter. So really, there's a lot of dual standards there always are. I would have liked to have seen a decent radio service for Ireland on 252 rather than Radio Tower, but having said that, I think that radio facts shouldn't just give in weekly, that they ought to state their case and hang on as long as possible without just giving in meekly. And thanks, Radio Facts, for all the entertainment that you've given us over the years. And, well, good luck. I should stick it out if I were you. Don't give in. All the best.
From Port Stewart, County Derry, Northern Ireland, writing to Paul Bentley. Solid Gold Sunday. Dear Paul, putting pen to paper to express how I feel about your announcement of Radio Facts closing down at the end of this month. And I'm very sad to see such a professional project to be forced to pull the plug. What were you doing wrong? Nothing, except broadcasting a professional manner with proper shortwave equipment, and as long as it wasn't interfering, everything should be okay. My theory for the reason for the closure to be forced upon you is because Radio Facts, in other government size around the world, is an invitation to other free radio stations to use your good example and follow suit. But sure, if only the EEEC would agree to allocate a part of the shortwave spectrum to free radio stations, and these free radio stations would comply with the necessary technical setup, pay a small fee for the service. After all, there is room for everybody. The whole world has more important matters to deal with if you only watch the news than to worry about you. I only look forward to when a license to shortwave will be awarded to Radio Facts, and that you will be back bigger than ever before. Bigger and better than ever before. Good luck, and by all means, take it easy out there. Yours in free radio, Neil Sweeney, from Port Stewart. To France, and Disc Pars is the name of the business that Daniel Lesser runs, where he collects rare and unusual records, and that's in Corvol-Lorlier, in France. So I've been listening to your programmes for the past 6 months on 6205, my usual frequency. I was a great fan of RNI in 1970. He also gets good reception on 12255. And he's talking about the Falcon programme, where there were interviews with people about August 14th, 1967, old jingles from Big L, and more songs from that era. In fact, both the Falcon and the Andy Walker Radio Days programme. We've a letter here from Malcolm Bruce, MP. He's written to us, and forwarded a copy of the letter that he has written to David Miller, who's the minister responsible for broadcasting at Westminster. And Malcolm Bruce, MP, from Aberdeenshire, he's writing, following a constituent of his writing into him. Dear Mr. Miller, part of his letter goes, clearly Mr. Anderson feels it provides a useful service and cannot see why the British government should close it down, preserving a BBC World Service monopoly in this kind of field. Can you advise, first of all, what authority the British government has to try to close down a station operating in the Irish Republic? And if it is the intention of the British government to secure its close down, why this should be the case? I would be grateful if you could provide any other relevant comments for Mr. Anderson. That's letter from Malcolm Bruce MP to David Mellor, Minister with Responsibility for Broadcasting at the Department of National Heritage these days. I think in the time RadioFX has been on the air, we've seen about 8 ministers with responsibility for broadcasting. It's not surprising if nobody stays there more than a few months that no interesting or innovative policies ever get anywhere. So, thank you to J.T.W. Anderson from Castle Park, Ellen in Aberdeenshire for your letter-writing efforts. Part of his letter goes, "This private enterprise-run station has made a number of requests to the British regulatory authorities for recognition, but has been turned down as the situation is not covered by regulations for HF broadcasting. It appears only the BBC World Service broadcasts are permitted. This station is enjoyed by a significant number of listeners and is heard throughout the world, i.e. Europe, the Americas, Australia and New Zealand, etc." Thank you, J.T.W. Anderson, for your letter-writing efforts.
Hey, this is Simon Mayer from Dublin in Ireland, just ringing up to express my dismay and disgust at your decision to close down.
I am Foy, that's F-O-Y, from Hawley in Surrey. Just heard the news on Media Network about an hour ago, present time 8:33pm in the evening. Sorry, sir, that you will have to go off here. I will certainly be sending out a couple of letters, having been quite into letter-writing campaigns on behalf of the Caroline Raid in the past, so I know what to do with letters. Anyway, I hope you manage to keep on broadcasting in some form or other. I would suggest you might look at Eastern Europe, where you never know, there might be people who could be interested in allowing you to putting out lower-power shortwave broadcasts without any undue difficulty. Right, I shall have to send you a letter as well. I've been getting quite used to listening to you in the mornings before I go off to work, and in the evenings at night, and it would be a shame if you're no longer there.
Hello, I'm Lars Leders from Cottbus, eastern part of Germany. I found it very bad that RadioFX is closed now, and I'm a radio freak on shortwave, and the private independent radio stations are for me the best, and RadioFX is the only best. Okay, that's my opinion. I hope you will find me next time.
Good afternoon. My name is Mark Andrews, phoning from the Georgian city of Bath. Just a little note about the fact that you're closing down doesn't seem fair, and I'm not quite sure what embarrassment you're causing other than to show up the quality of broadcast from the rest of the Irish Republic. Seems strange to me that they haven't actually broadcast anything on shortwave themselves for absolutely years, so why don't they give us the license? As regard writing to our MP, the local MP here is about as much use as a one-legged man in an ass-kicking competition, but writing to the Department of Communications in the good old Emerald Isle might do something. I'd like to wish everybody all the best for the future and thank everybody for keeping us entertained when nobody else could be bothered to switch on their transmitters. Once again, it's a bit of a shame, but you never know, in probably years' time, you might pop back up again. This is Mark Andrews saying thanks for the music for the last 2 years. Hope to hear you soon.
Hello, this is Bill here from Macclesfield, County Londonderry. I suggest you rename your station Radio Caroline, run a music programme, or rename the programmes that Caroline are running on the satellite. A lot of people in Ireland just listen to Caroline in the 60s. I think it would be popular.
Hello, this is Paul calling from the north of Holland near the West German border. In my opinion, RadioFX is the best thing that ever happened since March 1964. I do thank RadioFX for its very, very interesting transmissions. Good luck to you, and all the best in the future. Way back in 1964, at the age of 12, I first discovered the first independent radio station called Radio Caroline. Now, I'm almost 40 years of age and still enjoying independent radio stations on 49 meters in the shortwave, RadioFX. I think it's a shame you're going off the air. I enjoyed your programs. Good luck to you, RadioFX. Greetings from Holland. This is Paul, signing off right now. Bye-bye. Ta-ra.
This is John Williams from Science Astor in Glass. Can I suggest that instead of saying that you are closing down, that you state that you are being closed down, which is the true fact, and it will tell people, really, that you are being closed down rather than going off the air voluntarily. Many thanks.
Hello, my name's Andrew Howlett of Buckingfield in Cheshire. I think it's absolutely scandalous that Radio Fact should be requested to close down in this way. And life won't be the same without the Sparks programme on Monday and Tuesday. There'll be a big hole in my shortwave dial when you close down. Thanks for all you've done in the past, and long live the fight.
Radio Facts, the final programme. The following people have broadcast on Radio Facts: Mike Allen, Paul Bentley of Classic Gold, and this...
The Philips DC777 car radio is a must for all serious shortwave listeners who spend time in the car. The Philips DC777 packs a sophisticated shortwave tuner, AM/FM tuner, and cassette player and powerful stereo amplifier into a standard-size car radio unit. AM, FM, and shortwave coverage from 3170 to 21910 continuous. The stereo cassette deck is also auto-reverse. Check out the review in the World Radio and TV Handbook, and it received 4 stars in the Radio Netherlands receiver shelving list. This top-of-the-range Philips car combination is available to Radio Facts listeners at the special price of £249. Contact the Radio Facts sales office by telephone in the UK on 0483 275 997. Or write for the brochure at Radio Facts, The Forge, Cranley, GU67B. In England.
Andy Bradgate, Trevor Brook, myself, Andy Burnham, who does Sparks.
Unfortunately, we can think of no other place to go to that would allow Radio Facts to continue to operate in a professional way. All the 44 people involved in Radio Facts, including myself, would like to thank you, our listeners, for the 3,000 letters of support for the project you've sent us each year. If that number of letters went to members of Parliament, big hint, then perhaps independent shortwave radio would happen sooner rather than later.
Eddie Caffrey, you've lost that loving feeling was also re-released in the UK in 1969, where it reached number 10. Also re-released in 1977, where it reached the top 50. And recently, in 1988, it also made the lower regions of the top 75. Chrissy Carpenter, who's now gone on to regular programmes on the Midlands Gold Service, GMAM. Steve Conway.
No pun intended in the next record which I'm going to play for you. It's a flock of seagulls and wishing.
Listen carefully for the generator popping away in the background. Martin Dealey, Henry Jewlett, Jody.
It's a shame we're not in stereo here at Radio Facts, because there's some really weird stereo effects on that record. I wonder, they went in for that sort of thing in the 60s, didn't they? I mean, not that I know, because I wasn't around, but, well, I've heard the evidence and the results of such things. So, if you want to hear that in its full glory, I suggest you go out and buy it.
Dave Johns.
Ricky Jones. 6205 and 12255. I'm Ricky Jones, and this is Toto and Africa.
Paul McLaren. He's been doing Thursdays, and does a lot of other things on ILR stations. Juliet Masters. Now doing stuff for BBC Radio Surrey. Bob Matthews. Peter Moore. Jill Moss.
2.5 years ago, on August the 23rd, 1989, British and Dutch officials boarded Radio Caroline, removing studios and destroying equipment worth over £500,000.
Keith Moss, who's no relation. Tommy Murphy, from County Mayo, who does the country music show and is still on air on MWR-FM. Ruth Phillips. Johnny Rees. Holly Robson.
The European Commission has recommended in its green paper complete deregulation of one-way downlinks by December 1989.
Holly went on to do voluntary service overseas in Nepal, doing earthquake reconstruction work. And now she's just starting at university as a mature student. Nick Salomon, Red Sands.
From my viewpoint, Radio Fags and the Red Sands programme has become part of my creative life, with the kind of freedom I haven't enjoyed since the 1960s. Let's hope we'll all meet again through the magic ether of shortwave radio. Until that time, this is Red Sands wishing you all the love in the world.
Andy Sherwood. Helen Songist. Sadly, Helen died in 1989. Gary Stevens, who brought us some Eurobeat. Maggie Stevenson.
This one's very easy to read. It's from Paul Marsh, from Poole in Dorset, who says, I think there should be more stations of this type. I've listened to your station for hours on end. I find the content very interesting. Well, thank you for that. That's from Mr. Paul Marsh from Poole in Dorset.
Kevin Thorne. Bob Tomarski. He's on BBC Television. He's on BBC Radio 5, BBC Radio 4, and various other local radio stations. Andy Walker, Colin Ward, and Chris Watford. That's the most complete list we have of the people who've broadcast on Radio Fax.
My name is Graham Page, and I'm from Preston. I'd like to say that I've enjoyed listening to Radio Fax very much over the last 3 months. I tend to listen to particularly the Sparks and the archive material, as I feel that music doesn't work particularly well on shortwaves. It suffers from the almost inevitable fading in and out that shortwave signals, you know, always suffer from. As a blind person, particularly, I'm able to get access to articles that I just simply wouldn't be able to read normally from a wide range of publications. And while there are certain magazines available in a taped format, these cost a considerable amount to obtain and often don't contain articles from as wide a range of magazines as your articles are taken from. And I believe this is partly because the tape magazines tend to be for specific interest groups such as radio hams, hi-fi enthusiasts, etc. Those your programs do cover a very wide range of interests from the really dedicated radio enthusiast to the person who is just generally interested in media and may know nothing about electronics at all. I do wish you all the best for the future and hope that you continue to broadcast maybe in a few years' time.
Hello, Radio Fax. This is Jimmy in Long Burton, Newcastle. We enjoyed your programmes. Hope you will continue to broadcast in the future. Hold on. Good luck and best wishes.
Hello, this is Alec from Bolton. I'm sorry that you're closing down broadcasts. I can't believe that your best interests are served by closing down, but I can understand why you do. Remember what happened to the other Irish stations when their best interests were served, and look what's left now. Sunshine? Something like that. Only a shadow of what the other stations used to be.
Nova and things.
Anyway, good luck. I hope you do make the right decision. Perhaps you've considered broadcasting from the Caroline ship. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? I shall certainly write to the Minister of Communications in Dublin, and I'm sorry that you're having to close down. I do listen on two frequencies, 3910 and 6205, regularly. Love Sparks and the Sunday Shows. Sorry that you're going. Bye.
Hello, Trevor and Andy and all at Radio Fax. It's Tim Rochford here from Kidderminster. Sorry to hear that you have to close down. I was thinking, really, that this is not a good idea because I think that people have short memories, and I don't think that you're going to be able to keep up the support if you're not on the air. Anyway, good luck for the future, and let's hope you get that license. I myself, of course, will be writing that special letter to the Minister of Communications in Dublin, and I hope to catch you on the airwaves again. Bye-bye.
Hi, my name's Jenny. I'm from London. I'm really sorry to see that Radio Fax is closing down. I particularly like Sparks. I find that's a really interesting radio programme, and I hope it goes on for a few weeks yet. Okay? Bye.
Hello, this is Paul Walker of Bolton and Avon. Just phoning up to say how disappointed I was to hear that you're closing down. The Sparks programme on Radio Fax has become a regular favourite on Mondays and Tuesdays. The 90-minute format is excellent, and the content's always interesting. I hope that you soon get your license, and best of luck in the future.
Joe Doyle from Radio Dublin in Dublin City, Sunday morning. Heard the news, think it's absolutely ridiculous that you should go off the air because of a letter that you received from the Minister of Communications. If that's the case, we should all switch off. If they're going to be able to frighten one station away with such stupid nonsense, they'll be able to frighten everybody away. Just thought you'd like to hear our comment. I speak on behalf of Eamon as well, who's absolutely amazed by what's happening here. Maybe you will hop on eventually, lads, and stay on the air and provide the service. Obviously, it's annoying somebody. Take care of yourselves now, and good luck in the future. Bye-bye.
Radio Fax, the final programme. A letter here, written to the Minister of Communications in Dublin, by Gerald Gray from Sevenoaks in Kent. For several years, I have listened to a very useful shortwave radio service known as Radiofax. It provides me with a very high-quality news digest of technical items, features and media information from a wide variety of sources. As a telecommunications professional, I find this unique service invaluable. It would be extremely difficult, expensive and time-consuming to monitor all the relevant technical journals, trade magazines and international radio programs, which provide the material for Radiofax. I was therefore extremely disappointed to hear that the Irish Department of Communications believes that Radiofax is causing embarrassment to the Republic and has asked it to close. The Radiofax service is highly professional and totally inoffensive, and undoubtedly deserves its place in the shortwave spectrum. Presumably, the closure is the result of your department acting under the influence of the British Department of Trade and Industry. Whatever happened to Irish independence? Surely the answer must be to license Radiofax so that it can continue to serve its listeners as before. This would hardly establish a precedent, with Atlantic 252 in County Meath aiming 500 kilowatts of pop music at the UK. Licensing a few kilowatts for a technical information service would not cause any problems. In fact, by providing an alternative to the BBC World Service, it would actually enhance the reputation of the Republic, and with some suitable promotions, it could attract visitors. I very much hope that instead of bringing about the destruction of a pioneering broadcasting idea, the department will promptly issue a license to Radiofax, so that it does not have to go off the air. Gerald Gray's letter to the Minister in Dublin, and to Mark Wolfson, his Member of Parliament. Part of the letter he writes, "Amazingly, your free enterprise, privatising, freedom of choice, conservative government still allows the BBC to retain its total monopoly of shortwave broadcasting in the UK. It is ironic that as Eastern Europe starts discovering new freedoms, the UK is busily preventing listeners hearing any alternative voice. I very much hope that instead of bringing about the destruction of a pioneering broadcasting idea, you will urge the Department of National Heritage to issue a license to Radiofax so that it does not have to go off the air." Thank you, Gerald Gray in Sevenoaks, for those letters. And to Penrith in Cumbria, and Geoffrey Holden, who's written to the Minister for Communications in Dublin 2, Ireland. "I write in appreciation of Radiofax, a station which is currently broadcasting from your country, and in response to your request, is about to cease broadcasting. I have been listening to this station since May of last year, and earlier during a previous programming period. Radiofax have throughout this period provided high-quality, intelligent programming, unmatched by any other station. Sparks on a Monday and Tuesday has enabled me to gain an insight into technology otherwise unavailable, whilst the Country Music Show has provided excellent entertainment. The cessation of this top-quality station will be viewed with disappointment by many people. If it is possible for Radiofax to be granted a license, you would, I feel sure, earn the gratitude of many people. Its programmes would be welcomed and be an asset to many, and an asset to its host country." Geoffrey Holden, writing there to Dublin.
"Hello, it's Lorna here from near Portsmouth in Hampshire. We listen to Radiofax every Sunday, and I have a tweak on my boyfriend's FRG7 every Sunday morning, and we really enjoy your broadcast. We've written to Dublin and hope that they will give you a license that you can keep broadcasting. We hope to keep hearing you in the future. Bye."
"Hello, this is Mark Parfrey speaking from Dublin. I think it's a terrible shame that you're being forced off like this. And best of luck and thanks for all your work. I'll try and do what I can with the minister here, but I don't expect anything. Bye for now."
"It's my name is Terry Cooper in Scunthorpe. I'm sorry about my speech, as I am disabled. I am a radio amateur, George for Charlie Bravo Yankee, and I have listened to radio. going on as long as it has been in the war. I am very disheartened that you have to stop broadcasting. It is Radio Caravan, Radio Union all over again, the day tonight. Hello, and the government just getting rid of what they do not want to know about. What about the disabled people and the blind people who cannot read but enjoy listening to your serious Sparks articles? I hope you do find a way of broadcasting, because this is a station that I love to listen to. I hope you do find a way back onto the air. Good luck from G for CBY. Cheers for now, and I'll keep looking out for you.
Hi, Roy Hinchley here. I wrote to you about 4 weeks ago, Dublin's location. I heard Paul Bentley's program. As most of your clients appear to be from the UK, I think Sparks would be an ideal as a media technology review on Radio 4, so think of that one. Use some slots on the Euronet satellite for the other programs as independent productions. Well, it might be worth continuing. Radio Dublin are doing that. Anyhow, what is shortwave Radio 4? To whom are you broadcasting, really? Your present program content seems to be aimed at the home market, i.e. UK market. Anyway, if you're interested in shortwave in Ireland, so are a few radio amateurs in EI. Write to Kieran McCarthy, Echo India 7, Delta India Bravo, 35, Dunamara, Renmore, Galway, or the editor of the IRTS newsletter, 12 Castle Avenue, Carrick Two Hill, County Cork. And it's a pity that Chris Carey didn't get the National Radio Licence for Ireland. Ciao from Rory Hinchley, EI4DJB.
Hello Radio Facts, this is Tony from Clanfield in Hampshire. Just wanted to say that I was really sorry that you're going to be going off the air, but as has been proved with Radio Caroline, Radio London, Radio City, Radio 390, etc., the good always die young, and you're very good. Just a pity you're giving up the ghost and dying young. Anyway, good luck in the future. I have written to Dublin, but you know what they're like, these politicians. Anyway, keep up the good work for as long as you can, and I'm sure we'll hear you in the future. If it's only tape recordings of your radio station on some other pirate. Cheers for now then. Good luck. Bye.
This is Roger Parsons in Hinckley in the heart of England. Allow me to add my voice to the commiserations of other listeners who will miss you when you've gone. I remember way back in the 60s, one of the reasons why the British government gave for silencing the pirates was that they broadcast on marine frequencies, frequencies set aside for other uses. Also, little things like Caroline interfering with a Yugoslavian radio station. This was done more out of ignorance than knowledge, as everyone knows how the situation is now, where one station interferes with another. You should listen to the number of Spanish stations that interfere with British stations on the medium wave at night. Later on, the British government decided that one particular pirate was definitely in breach of the international law by broadcasting on a frequency on the 188 meter band set aside for marine use. When the pirate was silenced, what did the British government do? They gave the BBC permission to put BBC Radio Leicester on that frequency. That's consistency for you. I think it's disgusting that Radio Facts is going off the air. I think it's an abysmal shame. Once again, politicians not really knowing what they're talking about has spoilt it for the rest. Someday, politicians will realise that the people should come first and not politics. Once again, commiserations, and I hope you'll get back again, one way or another. Preferably not on satellite, because that's a bit limited and a bit elitist. Why not back on shortwave? Some chap earlier suggested you got back from a pirate ship. Well, maybe not. Anyway, best of luck, and I hope I'll hear you again.
Hello, this is Tony Palmer from Radio Caroline. Well, I'm very sorry to hear that you're going to be going off air soon. I wish you all the best in the future and hope you can find somewhere to come back as soon as possible. Best wishes and bye for now.
I'm Mr. Albert Stevens from Cardiff, South Wales. I've enjoyed listening to Radio Facts very much. All the programmes have been very good. I think that it should have a licence to broadcast on the shortwave band. I think that it has put life back into shortwave. I will miss it very much when it goes off the air. I've enjoyed the programme very much, and to all the people on Radio Facts, I'd like to say thank you very much for your broadcasting. That's all I'd like to say now, thank you. Thank you very much. From Cardiff, South Wales.
Radio Facts, 3910, 6205 and 12255. The final programme. Radio Facts has closed down. What have you done about it? Have you written to your TD or your MP? Thank you to everybody who has. A splendid effort so far. And I must not forget, thanks to some of the people behind the scenes. To Jim McLaughlin for putting up with all of this. To Peter for engineering effort. To Dawn, who will never forget letting me drive away from the transmitter site while leaving the return loss bridge on the roof of the car. To our other friend over the mountain, who is keen on high-power FETs, for a lot of running around, and getting frozen with me doing antenna work on our perpetually windswept site. To Mary Canavan over the border, for helping us defeat the long-running three-month postal strike. To James down the road, for an 813, and cross-border expeditions. And to all the people of Donegal.
Hi, I'm Colin Forster. From the Isle of North Scotland. I'm sorry to hear Radio Facts is closing down. It's the worst thing since August 14, 1967. You will be greatly missed, as you are the number one station on shortwave. I've enjoyed your programmes very much indeed. They're written to my local MP, Callum McDonald. I do hope you get a licence very, very soon. I would also like to wish the staff at the station the very best for the future. And farewell from the Hebrides. Goodbye.
Hi there, this is Graham Stevenson in Dunblane in central Scotland. I was disappointed to hear the news that you're closing. I heard it on Media Network from Radio Netherlands last week. I've always enjoyed the station, particularly Sparks. The archive programmes and Paul Bentley's Classic Gold. Hoping in the future that you can get an independent shortwave licence and keep up the good work. Okay, bye.
Hello, this is the editor from the Pirate Chat Radio magazine here. Well, I've just decided to give you a call to say it's rather a shame that Radio Facts has to close, as you've been providing pretty good programmes for quite some time now, especially the Sparks programme, which I've listened to now for some months. So I wish you all the best of luck with applying for a licence, and let's hope you can get one.
Hello, it's Mike Tamworth here from Tring in Hertfordshire. I'd just like to say I've been listening to Radio Facts for about a year now, and I think that it's a great shame that you've got to go off the air. It seems as if anything that's enjoyable has to be put off the air by governments, doesn't it? I've particularly enjoyed Sparks and Radio Days, but all the programmes really. Just one idea, would it be possible for you to broadcast for a couple of hours a day via satellite? Maybe if you could get some airtime and the right sponsor, it could pay for itself. Anyway, good luck for whatever you decide in the future. Bye for now.
Yes, hello Radio Facts, this is Joe here at Newport. Just saying very sorry to hear that you're going to go off the air. We listen all the time, especially to the Sparks program, and also the Tommy Murphy Country and Western show on a Wednesday. We really enjoy it. Can I just give a plug here for a very low-power station called Radio Tomato, which is on the air where we are. You won't be able to hear it where you are, but the money's running out now, I'm afraid. 54321, it's going. So wish you all the best, and we'll keep listening to the frequency all the time on 6205 and 3910. Yeah, bye-bye for now. And we've got it on at the moment.
Welcome, Cairns here. Fieldhouse Road, Gateshead, Tyne and Weir.
I'm shocked and saddened to hear the news that Radio Fax is to close down. I can't think of one other single station that has given me so much listening pleasure over the last year. Perhaps before you do close down, you could perhaps give us the Radio Fax story, an archive programme on yourselves, and let us hear some of the information behind Radio Fax and the people who are employed in Radio Fax. I didn't realise 44 people were involved. Quite an undertaking. Anyway, I do promise you a letter to my MP and wish you to see you in the very near future broadcasting from Britain. Goodbye. Thanks.
Hi, this is Dave Burke from Broadstairs in Kent in the UK. I'm very sad that Radio Fax is closing down. It has brought a much-needed breath of fresh air to broadcasting, and I just hope that someone somewhere with influence will at last realise that a service of this kind is very much wanted. Best of luck to you all.
Hello, Radio Fax. This is Paul Wood, Chessington in Surrey here, just ringing up and saying very sad to see you go. This takes me back to the 60s, to the offshore stations when the same thing happened there. They had a load of support, great programs, and they were forced off the air. Same thing has happened to Radio Fax. One of the programs I like most of all is the Sparks program, all the offshore bits and news. I hope it's not too long before you come back again. It's very sad that you can come and listen to a station like yours where there's no other station at the moment that puts out programs. When you be gone, it'd be very sad. Let's hope you're back soon. Bye for now. Keep up the good work.
Hello, this is Sean Moises calling from Norwich. Been listening to Radio Fax for well over a year now. And terribly sorry to hear that you're going off the air. Please do stay on the air if you can. I don't think you'll ever get a shortwave licence. I think the BBC has a monopoly on that, and I think you might be barking up the wrong tree to try and get a licence. But anyway, enjoyed your programmes, but please do try and stay on the air.
Radio stations come and go. Radio London, Laser, Caroline, Jackie. Closed down by authorities scared stiff of something that they couldn't control. Now Radio Fax is to join that list of stations. Radio Fax is a great radio station, and I'm proud to have been associated with it, albeit for a short time. I'm Bob Matthews. If you want to keep us on the air, write to your MP or the Minister for Post and Telecommunications in Ireland now, before it's too late.
Radio Fax, you can still get the Radio Fax station card and 6 pages of information if you send 50 pence, 3 IRCs, or $1 to Radio Fax, The Forge, Cranley, England, GU6, 7BG. And you can also get a copy of the Radio Fax story up to September 1992. Just drop us 1 stamped addressed envelope or 1 IRC.
My name is Carl Callahan from Dublin City, Ireland. I support Radio Fax, and I think Radio Fax should stay on the air. Thank you.
Hello, Radio Fax. It's Dave Smith, calling from Clendrindod Wells in Powys. I've listened to Radio Fax for almost a year now, and I've always found your programmes to be informative and interesting, and certainly I, like many other people, regret the fact that you're going to be forced to close down. I hope that you are successful in getting an independent licence. I'll certainly do my bit to help you do that. Incidentally, you may be interested to know that I even take my portable communications receiver to work and have a long while strung around the office so I can keep up to date with what's going on, and Radio Fax is one of the radio stations that I tune into on a regular basis. Good luck for the future. I hope it will not be too long before we hear you on the air again. And I, as I said, will be certainly writing to the Department of Communications and my local MP to press for independent shortwave licensing. So good luck for the future, and thanks for what you've done already.
Goodbye.
It's Dave Hall from Lyndhurst here. I've listened to Radio Facts since April last year, and I really enjoyed your programmes. And I'm shocked to hear you closing. I'm going to do anything I can to keep your station on the air somehow. Now, what can we do? We've lost stations before. We're now going to lose yours. Anyway, thanks for everything, and I will write to the authorities in Dublin, but I don't think they're taking a notice, really, any more than the British government took notice years ago.
Hello, I'm John Adamson, calling from Saxlingham Nethergate in South Norfolk. I'm just wanting to say how very, very sad I am that Radio Fax is closing down. I think you've provided a really worthwhile service, which is completely different to anything else I've ever heard on any wave band. You obviously proved there is a demand for this sort of service, and also that you're capable of providing it in a responsible manner. I just hope that the Irish or British government will recognise this and will award you a licence to continue broadcasting on shortwave. Well, I'm off to write my letter of support now to my MP and to the Minister for Communication. I just hope it won't be too long before you return. Thanks again for lots of very, very interesting programmes. I'm going to miss you a lot. Goodbye.
Hello, this is Phil Muir phoning from Gillingham in Dorset. You may remember a few weeks ago that you got a letter from James Robinson saying that I lived in Shaftesbury in Dorset, but I've moved. I'm a self-employed piano tuner, and being a visually impaired person, I really value Radio Fax because as I can't sort of see to read any of the technical features that are available in magazines, it's a really valuable service to me. So I'd just like to thank Radio Fax for all the technical information that you supplied me. Thank you very much. Bye.
Hello, this is Bob Croft from Gateshead, Swarwell area. I've supported your station for a very long time. I've listened to it for the last year and a half since I stumbled across it. I think you do a very good job. Your programmes are very important on the air, somehow, some way. All the best to everybody that's worked on this programme, and I, for one, will be writing a letter to my MP.
Hi, this is Mike from Stomp FM in Manchester. Sorry to hear you going. I've really enjoyed listening to Radio Fax over the last few months. Sorry to hear you going, and, well, I hope we can get back on somehow. See ya.
This is Ron Crosser, speaking from Hockley in Essex, saying how sorry I am that Radio Fax has to close down. Maybe one day we'll hear Radio Fax again. Once again, very sorry that Radio Fax has to close down. This is Ron Prosser in Hockley in Essex, saying thanks to the 40 staff who run Radio Fax. Many thanks for Radio Fax once again.
Radio Fax, the final programme. Radio Fax t-shirts, made in Ireland, with an old-fashioned radio design and the slogan, Britain's number two shortwave station, are available. £9.99, you can still order one after we've gone. Also, the two-colour station card and 6 pages of information, including an artist's impression of the transmitter site. That's 50 pence, $1 or 3 international reply coupons. Radio Fax 3910 6205 and 12255.
Radio Fax has been continually broadcasting since 1988. In that time, Radio Fax's shortwave programs have become bolder and more exciting. After all, where else can you hear the light-hearted Sparks program of science and technology, the world of country music, the rock shows, classic gold, European rock, and the pulsing beat of dance, soul, and indie rock in the Red Sands program? Radio Fax is progressive, but still highly entertaining, and now more popular than ever before. So why should Radio Fax be a victim of its own success? Show your support in a letter to your MP and the Minister for Communications at Dublin 2 in Ireland. After all, Radio Fax only want to be free.
Radio Fax, the final programme. The Radio Facts story up to September 1992, or how you can't get a license, whatever you try to do, follows in a few minutes. September 1992. We thought of the idea for this station many years ago and started writing to the British government requesting a license in August 1986. Letters in reply were discouraging and evasive. They also betrayed a complete lack of understanding of the concept. In the Republic of Ireland, the Minister for Communications had made a statement that allowed unlicensed radio stations to operate pending the introduction of their independent radio and television commission. Knowing, in 1988, that formal licensing procedures were nearing a reality in the Republic, we decided to put the station on the air and actually demonstrate what the idea was all about. So, on the 1st of April, 1988, Radio Facts was born. The response was terrific. We had 1,500 letters in 6 months. No shortwave station had ever experienced anything like it before.
the people who actually use shortwave were enthusiastic about the station. Those who regulate the spectrum were not at this stage so keen. And we were visited at the office in Cranley by investigators from the Radio Communications Agency of the DTI. This was after we wrote to the then Minister for Trade and Industry, Lord Young, telling him what we were doing and asking that under the much publicised Enterprise Initiative, he should consider issuing us with a licence. Satisfied that transmissions were not coming from the United Kingdom, they could take the matter no further, apart, doubtless, from making a complaint to Ireland. Nothing at all positive was done by this Department of Enterprise to explore options for development. In March 1988, following press reports that Margaret Thatcher was chairing a committee concerned with introducing free market forces throughout broadcasting, we wrote to the then Prime Minister and received a response which was so short and irrelevant to the points raised that it either showed a complete lack of comprehension of what we were about or was deliberately intended to be insulting. Margaret Thatcher herself sent us no reply, and we received a letter from the Broadcasting Department at the Home Office, which informed us that HF broadcasting allocations in the United Kingdom are used only for the external services provided by the BBC. The letter continued by telling us that the Foreign and Commonwealth Office have direct responsibility for the policy implications of this, and say that the government would not be prepared to grant a licence to private external broadcasters in current circumstances. It is difficult to guess quite what these current circumstances are supposed to be, and, as we all know, that letter is not even accurate, since the Voice of America and Radio Canada are just two amongst stations other than the BBC to broadcast from England. More encouragingly, in October 1988, we had a letter from someone who knew a great deal about broadcasting. Lord Thompson, then chairman of the Independent Broadcasting Authority, wrote to us saying that he regretted that legislation precluded the IBA from helping by giving us a licence, but that he wished good luck to what he called the exciting project. On the 1st of January 1989, new broadcasting legislation came into force in the Republic of Ireland, and, along with the majority of other stations in Ireland, we closed down. Early 1989 was a busy time for paperwork, with our response to the recently published White Paper on Broadcasting from the British government. The Green Paper, the previous year, had at least mentioned the existence of shortwave, but the White Paper was silent on the subject. We sent in our response to the White Paper in February 1989, and the Home Office acknowledgement that our points would be taken into account as we move towards the introduction of new broadcasting legislation was only to be followed by a Broadcasting Act which made no mention at all of the potential for shortwave services. At the time when the state's broadcaster, RTE, was the only organisation in Ireland that could be licensed, we approached Vincent Finn, Director General of RTE, with the suggestion of collaboration in a shortwave project, along the same lines as the joint Atlantic 252 operation. Though RTE was not interested in what it believed to be the high capital cost of an HF installation, the reply from Vincent Finn personally did confirm that Ireland has access to shortwave frequencies under international agreements. Over a period of several years, we had correspondence with the broadcasting expert of the Tynwald, the government of the Isle of Man. Though initially enthusiastic to see the Isle of Man taking a lead in new radio developments, it seems that the constraints of having their frequency usage directed for them by Whitehall proved too big a stumbling block. We also looked into the possibility of obtaining licensing from the states of the Channel Islands, but much the same situation prevailed there. In May 1990, the newly created Radio Authority in London wrote to us saying that they were not permitted access to shortwaves by the Home Office. Their letter continued by wishing well with the idea. With stonewalling from the government in Britain and no realistic prospect of getting on the air legally in England, we looked again at an old and much-loved favourite, Ireland. The continued survival of pre-1989 stations led us to look into the legal situation in the Republic, and our advice was that under the Constitution, and considering the new legislation made no provision for regulating shortwave services, we could continue without the new Act applying to our operation. So, we did. We started broadcasting again in April 1990, with better equipment and stronger signals. And our return was marked by a torrent of welcoming letters. Since our first letter to the Minister for Communications in Dublin in May 1987, we have written annually requesting time be found to look into the question of services on shortwave. Replies from Dublin have merely referred to domestic broadcasting issues having more pressing priority. In contrast to London, there is notably no nonsense about frequencies not being available. Over the past year and a half, the station has developed well. A good variety of material is broadcast, with items to appeal to many tastes, and the station has provided an outlet for independent producers. Much of the programming we carry would stand up on any national network. Our transmission system has proved itself and served us well throughout this period of continuous 24-hour operations. Our frequencies were carefully chosen with regard to the international radio regulations, and over thousands of hours of transmissions, no ship, no aeronautical service, or any other user of the shortwave spectrum has ever asked us to move channel. On occasions when other broadcasters have operated close to our frequency or produced spurious outputs which caused interference to our low-power signals, we found immense helpfulness and goodwill. Even a fax from us to Russia met with a willingness to help, and transmitters readjusted to clear our frequency. This brings us to the present day, where we are cooperating with the authorities in Ireland and closing down in order to continue discussions about issuing of a license so that Radiofax can become permanent. Actually, operating Radiofax has been more effective than any number of words to describe the nature of the station. We close down as we hear from the United Nations station Radio for Peace International. This station, in territory ceded to the United Nations by Costa Rica, is so impressed by the quality of our programs that they want to carry our material and hoped we might give airtime to some UN programs in Europe. And what of Britain? Our latest letter in January this year to Peter Lloyd, then the minister with responsibility for broadcasting at the Home Office, brought a brief reply 3 months later from the broadcasting department, saying that it was unlikely that authorization could be given in the short term, since the proposal supposedly raised complex issues. Faced with a complete lack of progress and this seemingly negligent attitude, we sought advice about the scope for complaints to ombudsmen about maladministration or the courts for judicial review. Neither is really appropriate. But we were told of a way in which we might transmit from England. The Wireless Telegraphy Act describes offences of installing and operating transmitters without a licence duly issued by the Secretary of State. Where the Secretary of State has failed to provide any form of licence for a new category of service, the Wireless Telegraphy Act may not apply. Amongst precedents quoted, which have been permitted in unlicensed form until regulation was introduced, are radio microphones for stage and broadcast use, car alarms, baby listening devices, and intercoms. As far as broadcasting is concerned, there were many unlicensed stations around Britain which operated until the government addressed the subject of community radio. A subject of much publicity, the Shetland Islands Broadcasting Company operated continuously, with no licence, from November 1987 until procedures were in place for the Radio Authority to issue a licence 4 years later, in 1991. The people in Shetland had been told that if their operation was stopped wrongly, then substantial damages could be claimed. Our situation parallels that in Shetland, with an unserved community of interest group and no technical reason why the service should not exist. On the other hand, we also have alternative legal advice, which quite simply says the law is absolute and there is no obligation upon the Secretary of State to provide licenses, no matter how unreasonable this may be. Letters from listeners now support operating without a license by a substantial majority. This is markedly different from opinion 4 years ago, and the mood has certainly changed. People feel government has had long enough to produce a policy, and that in a scale of seriousness, for us to broadcast without a license is on a par with trading on a Sunday. Unfortunately, that sentiment is not matched by the heavy penalties available in the recent Broadcasting Act. 34 people, using their real names, have broadcast on Radiofax, while a further 10 are involved behind the scenes, dealing with engineering and administration. If we transmit unlawfully in England, those in Britain could be fined and face confiscation of equipment, records and tapes, as well as the oppressive prohibition from employment in independent radio for 5 years. If we were ever prosecuted, there is a fair chance that several box files containing all the letters from listeners, together with letters of support from assorted members of Parliament and other luminaries, would produce leniency from a court. It is even possible to speculate about the case being dismissed, or resulting in a completely derisory fine, without any confiscation order, as an indication that the case should not have been pursued. Who knows? None of it is a particularly appealing prospect. We have done all we can for the moment. Antagonism within the authorities is evaporating. Now it is down to you, by sheer persistence, to make sure that some progress is made. The only thing that will help is letters to government. When you get a reply, write again, and keep the subject alive until you get a response that says a license has been issued. It is up to you to make sure that the need for action on independent shortwave broadcasting is not ignored while we are off the air. We are most proud of what you have had to say about the service, and how you value what we have been able to achieve without the benefit of live transmission. Comments from those with visual handicap are alone sufficient justification and reward. The letters you have written to various people in authority put the case with far more impact than approaches from us ever can. Every single letter from an independent outsider counts and can influence developments. If you live in ERA, contact your TD and get him or her interested in the subject. If you live in the United Kingdom, write to, or go and see, your Member of Parliament. The Minister for Communications in the Republic is Marie Gogan-Quinn, Dublin 2, Ireland. In Britain, the Minister with responsibility for broadcasting is David Mellor, Department of National Heritage, Horse Guards Road, London, SW1P 3AL. And you can get a printed copy of all these details if you send along a stamped addressed envelope or one international reply coupon to Radio Fax, The Forge, Cranley, England, GU6 7BG.
Hello Radio Fax, this is John Franklin from Ripley in Derbyshire. Phoning to say how sorry I am to hear of your excellent station is coming off the air. As an electronics engineer, I find Sparks excellent for keeping up to date with the latest developments in my own and similar fields of electronics. I also miss Jodie's rock show. It's broadened my musical horizons considerably, and she's wonderfully unpretentious. In 40 years as a shortwave listener, I think Radio Fax must be one of the most interesting and innovative stations I have heard ever. Even if the British government aren't forward-looking enough to grant you a licence, probably the Irish government might, if enough people write to them. Thanks for the years of interesting programmes. Let's hope it's not goodbye, just cheerio. Thanks.
My name is Peter Kirsop, spelled K-I-R-S-O-P, of Lym in Cheshire. May I say how sad I am to hear that you are being forced to close down, and I particularly lament the passing of the Sparks programme, as that, as far as I'm aware, was absolutely unique. I will write a letter to the Ministry of Communications in Dublin on your behalf, and also I have sent, under separate cover, a letter to yourselves enclosing 50p for the station information card, which I suspect may become a collector's item. Thank you for the excellent service you provided in the past, and good luck in the future.
Hello, Radio Fax. This is Keith from Ruislip.
and a big hello to you, and it's sorry to be saying goodbye to you so soon. I first tuned into your broadcast 27th of April 1991, and like a lot of your listeners, deeply into the Sparks programme, and only recently started to hear the Radio Days with Andy Walker. Good programmes. Like your music programmes, but I think that the speech content programmes are very innovative, and sorry you can't keep it up. I hope to be hearing something like you very soon. I, in fact, rather prefer to hear you again. And a final hello to my friends at the British DX Club, and hope that one of them will take this message. Cheerio bye, Radio Facts, and do a really good end of programme and publicise it for us. Bye.
My name is Fritz Harnisch in Bavaria, in Munich. 8027 Neuried, am Hardener Winkel, number 9. I congratulate you to your good music. I just listened to Simon and Garfunkel. I first thought you are a BBC relay in Singapore, but then I found out you're a different station. I lived 10 years in the United Kingdom, enjoyed it very much, and I enjoy your good music. You must continue and carry on. Good night and good luck.
Hi, Dave Preston calling from Leicester. As a long-term listener to Radio Facts and somebody who's been interested in radio for a long time, I'm sorry that the thing's going off the air. Although I have a reader to read various journals to me, I find Sparks covers more material than my reader can get through. So I'm very sorry that Radio Facts is going.
Hello, the name is Paul Cummings, phoning from Farnborough, Hampshire. I think you should stay on. I mean, they've always had this loophole. Stick to it. They've got to close it somehow. If they close it by making you legal, it's a good thing. If they close it by making you illegal, you apply for the license. Stick to it. Come on, lads.
Hello, it's Mr. David Ash here from Carshorton, England. I've enjoyed your programmes an awful lot, and I was shattered to hear that you're closing down, and you've done so much good work, given so much good information about things like free radio news about Caroline and things like that, and it'd be sadly missed. And I hope that something gets sorted out. Thank you.
My name is Rex, R-E-X, Jarvis. I live at Westfield near Hastings. Like many other people, I'm an avid shortwave listener, not only the European stations, but places like China, Japan, and all around the globe. More power to your elbow.
Radio Facts has closed down. Here's a letter written to the Minister for Communications in Dublin by M.E. Terry. It was with sadness that I heard this week that this radio station is to cease broadcasting after a request from the Minister of Communications. The station has consistently broadcast programmes of a professional quality for some 3 years, and certainly has a wider audience worldwide than is evidenced by the 3,000 or so letters it has received each year. I have listened regularly but only written to the station once during this period, and I suspect there are many listeners who regularly enjoy the programmes but do not contact the station. I believe the station has not caused interference from its broadcasting and has generated a great deal of goodwill towards the Republic for allowing the transmissions. Thank you for permitting the station, and I hope that you will use your best endeavours to assist the licence return of the station very shortly. Letter from M.E. Terry to the government in Ireland. From Bob Dobson, writing to the same place, part of his letter. The purpose of this letter is to ask that your government give favourable consideration to the granting of a licence for HF-only broadcasting to Mr. Brooke and his company, and other approved broadcasters. As you no doubt know, the government of the United Kingdom are quite obdurate on the matter of independent HF broadcasting, taking the stance that there is no mechanism which allows the establishment of privately owned and operated HF stations. During its short time on air, Radio Facts has demonstrated that there is a definite audience for their type of radio, which ranges from programmes of scientific and technical interest to modern music. Should the position be regularised by the granting of the appropriate licence, then the programming would expand and no doubt cover a much wider range of interests. Should your government grant such a licence, then it would be seen and heard by radio listeners around the world, for that is the spread of listeners that Radio Facts commands, that Irish democracy really works, and that your government is prepared to allow an international radio voice other than as an outlet for establishment to be heard. As the Republic do not have an international radio presence in HF broadcasting, any transmissions by fully approved and licensed companies, the number of which could be easily controlled, could not jeopardise the activities of other broadcasters in the Republic. I therefore urge you to seriously consider the matter of granting such a licence to Radiofax and any other approved body, in order that they may continue to provide a service which has proved to be well received for the past 17 months, and is a genuine alternative voice in radio for the English-speaking world. I would ask that you use your influence with your government to promote a change in the licensing regulations so that properly managed and technically equipped stations could be licensed for shortwave broadcasting from locations within your country. I look forward to your reply.
Hello, it's Pete Cook here from 34 Gould Drive, Tewkesbury in Gloucestershire. I'm very disappointed to hear that Radiofax is being forced to close down. I've tuned into Radiofax nearly every day now for a very, very long time. It's very professional and very interesting. I used to be a Radio 4 nighttime listener, but have now been converted over. I've enjoyed most of your programs, especially Andy Walker's radio days. So all I can do is wish you all well and say you'll be greatly missed by me. Best of luck to you all. Bye.
This is Martin James from Andromeda Independent Radio in Manchester, England. We're devastated at the news of the closure of Radiofax. We've written to the Irish Minister of Communications for what it's worth, and all I can say is we hope that there's some way that Radiofax can continue. Just what are they frightened of?
Well, this is Patrick Palmer from East Sussex. And like a lot of people, I will miss the programmes of Radiofax, particularly the Sparks programmes and the offshore programmes. In the meantime, the best of luck. Bye-bye.
Hello, Tim Butnell from Clangleton from TST Rock and Radio Recharge. It's a shame we have to go off the air. I've written to the Minister of Communications in Dublin, and I've also written to 10 Downing Street and have sent you the reply. Well, if you ever come back on after you've closed down, I'll be listening. Enjoy it a lot, I do. Okay, bye.
My name is Simon Parton. I'm calling from 23 Kingsland, Wellington, Telford in Shropshire. Just very sad to hear that you're going off the air. I've been quite a regular listener over the past few months, all on the shortwaves, and I'll do whatever I can to get you back on the air, well, in some form or another, put it that way, okay? And all I can say is best of luck for the future, and let's hope it's not the last we hear of Radiofax. In one form or another. Thanks a lot for entertaining and informing us over the last few years. Take care, all.
Yes, hello, good morning. Just heard the news. It doesn't sound very good at all. My name is John Sketchley. I'm actually calling from Leicester. I listen to Radiofax quite a bit, mainly on a Sunday. Quite disappointed to hear that you may be going off the air. Thanks, bye.
My name's Brian Sawtell and I live in Bristol. I'm sorry to hear about Radiofax closing down and also the Radio Caroline broadcast. The information and music, which is well presented in these broadcasts, will be sadly missed. I hope, in the name of good radio, Radiofax should get her license to broadcast legally, also the same as Caroline should. Thank you very much.
Hey, hello, my name is Mario. I'm calling from the Netherlands, from The Hague. Actually, I'm a German living since a few years in the Netherlands. I never had contact to you, but I'm listening to you since a very, very long time, and so this is my possibility to thank you for your very nice programs on shortwave. And it was really one of the reasons why I bought a new shortwave receiver for nearly 6,000 guilders. Maybe I'll have to throw it away when you're going off the air. I'm merely thinking of support you what's concerning the situation in Ireland. But I'm a lazy fellow, so that's why I never send you a reception report or something like that. But anyway, I'll keep on listening and hope that there will be a good solution for you. At least one more thing, thank you quite a lot for the rebroadcast of the Caroline transmissions which came over satellite. And Caroline actually was what all started me to listen to radio way back in 64. Momentarily I'm still listening to you, tape recording everything, what I also did not do before. But hearing you going off the air, I'll try to have as much as possible on tape. So thanks a lot for your good job you've been doing, and I hope if you're really going off the air that I'll be hearing you back sometime in the future. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
RadioFax has closed down, but you can still get the highly collectible RadioFax t-shirt. It features an old-fashioned radio design with a vowel sticking out of the top of it, and the slogan, Britain's number two shortwave station. They cost £9.99. Pack in one or two late letters. This one about a Falcon programme. Enjoyed the radio jingles I heard from Radio London, etc. Also, Galaxy Radio and Scotland. Independent radio and the BBC could never beat that. Free radio programmes are better. The radio jingles are good. People on free radio are more relaxed and do programmes better. I'm a supporter of free radio and looking forward to shortwave licensing. Please also thank Andy Walker for Wednesday's programme in which Radio Galaxy was heard also. That's the offshore project. Thank you, Albert Stevens in Cardiff. And hello, Michael Devine, who's at Eglinton, across the water from us, in County Londonderry, and he's ordering a t-shirt. Hello to Henry Schubert, Kreisborner in East Germany, and he listens on 3910 with a Speedola 240 receiver and its own telescopic antenna. Tommy Murphy, who does our country music programme, is back on the air again with MWR-FM. That's one of the licensed Irish local stations. He's on Saturday evenings between 6:30 and 10 p.m. on MWR-FM. Tommy Murphy.
Mr. Glenn Cross, Scotland. I'd just like to say that RadioFax is very informative. It makes a nice change from other local radio stations and British radio stations. I would like to see it obtaining a licence to operate legally. And I'm very disappointed that it's leaving the airwaves because of pressure from Ireland and other places outside Ireland. So I'd just like to put that on record and say thank you for a very enjoyable programme and a very professional job that you are doing. So good luck anyway, and hope to hear you very, very soon. Bye-bye.
Hello, name's Mike. I'm calling from Wolverhampton. Just heard on one of the Caroline info lines that you were thinking there was a possibility of having to close. I'd be really unhappy if that was to happen because I'm a regular listener and, well, yeah, you can say all the usual things, but yeah, it's what I normally listen to. If I was you, I'd probably try to fight on, but if you don't, well, you don't. Just to wish you well. Cheers.
Hello, this is Alex Free speaking, North Light Radio from North Germany. I think it's a poor that RadioFax has closed down. It was always very funny to listen to your program, especially when we came from work while the week, and we turn on our receiver in the evenings and we listen to great music and a real good program. And I think it's a poor that you have to close down. Maybe we hear us again, not on the shortwave, maybe as a commercial station, I don't know. I wish you all the best, and keep on fighting for free radio on the shortwave. Bye!
This is Anders Junemark from Oslo, Norway. I have been a faithful listener on my ICOM ICR 9000 for a very long time, and I really appreciate your programs, which have to continue. Your programming sets a new standard on quality, which should have a chance of life after your Earth station in Ireland has closed down. Here is my suggestion. Cooperate with the Radio Caroline organization and share airtime with them on satellite. Make agreement with the private radio stations in the Americas to retransmit your programs to reach an even bigger audience than you do today. To cover the expenses, your staff could make interesting programs for the station in return. I'm sure that your negotiations with that aim will succeed when you play the best of RadioFax tapes for the station's director's Spock, for example.
Try this and you will get even better results and more good working conditions than you have today. Keep up the good work. I'm sure you will succeed if you try that suggestion. Thank you very much.
Andrew Barco from Huddersfield. I'm very sorry that Radio Fax is going off the air. I've really enjoyed listening to Sparks over the last few months. And I hope you'll get the chance to get a license sometime in the future. I shall be sending a letter to you shortly. Thank you.
Hello there, Radio Fax. My name's John Bell, Stanley Avenue, Ashland, Middlesbrough, Cleveland, in the northeast of England. I've really enjoyed your programmes and don't understand why they want you to go off the air. I understand the reasons why you feel you have to go off the air. What can I say? I've enjoyed your programmes. I wish you could continue, and I hope one day that you'll be able to obtain your licence and we'll be listening to you again. Thank you very much. Bye now.
Hi, I'm John McCullen from Newcastle. Myself and many other listeners who are amateurs are going to miss you. That's all I can say. Well, some of us are anyway. We'll write letters. Wish you well.
Hi, the name here is Jeff Holden on the QTH's Penrith in Cumbria. I'm speaking on behalf not only of myself, but my wife and family. We've been listening to Radio Fax since May of last year, and also when you were on prior to that. We find that you give us first class, high-quality programs, particularly Sparks, World of Country, and Reflections on a Sunday evening. And I think that your programs are untouched in quality by any other broadcaster. We understand your reasons for closure, but you will be missed, and it is our hope that you do get a license so that in future we can be listening to Radio Fax on a permanent basis. Anyway, when you do come back, we'll be listening out for you. Best of luck.
Hello, this is David Croxford, and I listen to Radio Fax in Northampton. I'd just like to say how very sad I am to hear that my favourite programme of media and science, Sparks programme, is actually going off the air. I'd just like to say how very sad it is, and I shall be writing to my local MP and, of course, to the address in Dublin that you gave. Congratulations on a very high-quality radio station, which I don't even think is Europe's second best radio station. I think it is actually the best. So there you are.
This is Radio Fax, and this is our last programme of all. Writing from Kirby Stephen in Cumbria, Martin Cohen says, I'm shocked at your announcement of your impending closure. I hope the Radio Fax will obtain a licence. I have written to the Minister for Communication and my local MP, Mr David McLean, Penrith and the Borders. I hope to hear in the future. Thank you for your efforts in letter writing, Martin Cohen. To Carsten Polsgaard, in Sorvad, Denmark. He uses an ICF 7600 and a dipole for the 13 metre band, listening on 6205. It's the first time that I write to Radio Fax, but I have listened to you many times before, so I'm very sorry that you must close. Thank you for those wishes, Carsten Polgaard. Hello also to Phil Perkins in High Wycombe, and thanks for the information. You'll know by now that we have been dealing with these politicians for years, but to no avail. A letter to Falcon Programme. I was saddened to hear of the imminent closure of Radio Fax, so I was to find during your transmission that Falcon Radio will also be leaving the airwaves. Writing here, Terry Starr, Whitchurch in Bristol. I've tuned into several of your broadcasts made through the Radio Fax transmitter on 6205 in the last couple of months and have enjoyed what I heard. But the latest programme was a real classic. Interviews seem to be a bit of a rarity on most programmes dealing with free radio, and so your show made great listening. In particular, I enjoyed the interviews featuring the latest news on developments at Radio Caroline and on the long-running battle between the Department of Trade and Industry and Radio Merlin International. I must also thank you for playing On My Way Back Home by the New Riders of the Purple Sage. I taped it off the air, and it now forms the only complete recording of the track I've got. Here, listening on 6205, as usual, exceptionally clear, modulation excellent. And thanks very much for putting out some interesting and enjoyable programming. For now, though, best wishes to everybody involved. That's Terry Starr, writing about one of the Falcon programmes recently, from Whitchurch in Bristol. Denby in Clwyd. Martin Doig writes, I'm very sorry to hear that you intend closing down at the end of this month. I've been a listener to the station since the original transmission some years back, 1988, on 6205 and 1611. I've always thought the station to be quite unique in its format, especially a programme like Sparks. May I wish you and your colleagues the very best of good luck in the fight for an HF broadcasting licence. I could never understand whether ERA had any HF allocations, or if indeed they ever intend to set up an international broadcasting service. Time will tell. Your signal on 3910 can be really strong on some evenings. Often I check it out on my portable ICF 7600 in bed, even with its telescopic whip almost fully in. It is amazing what can be achieved with very modest power. Once again, good luck to all of you, and let's hope to be hearing from you again soon. Thank you, Martin Doig, included for that. Tilly Wakefield, and a letter from David Knight. Dear Trevor, after listening to Radio FX for well over a year, I thought a short letter was in order to thank you for the excellent service you have provided. It has given me many hours of enjoyment, with some of the interesting features on Sparks, plus some good music. I hope it will be soon before you obtain a license. He asks for the station card and information on the Philips Shortwave Car Radio. All the best to you all. Thank you, David Knight, in Wakefield. Now somewhere nearer to our transmitter site, to Larne, County Antrim, in Northern Ireland, Victor Miller. I have listened regularly to Radio FX since you started transmissions in 1988, and I'm sorry to hear you intend to close down. Your varied programming has been excellent, and certainly should not have been an embarrassment to the Dublin government. I wish you well in your efforts to obtain a licence. Best wishes to all at Radio FX for the future. Victor Miller, Maha Ramon, near Larne in County Antrim.
Trevor, this is Bob Dobson from Dent in Cumbria. I have just heard the sad news on the Caroline information line. I will be writing in support. I do hope that you will be able to continue. If you do though, I for one will miss you badly. I've thoroughly enjoyed everything you've done ever since I first heard you 7 years ago. What more can one say? I'll write to you shortly.
Bye. The name is John Lowry, calling from Manchester. I would like to know more information about Radio FX, if it's closing and when, if there's a specific date. I enjoy the sound up here in Manchester. I've told quite a lot of my friends about it, so I hope everything goes well and you can stay in the air.
Hi, my name's William Shimmin from Much Wenlock in Shropshire. I'm really sorry to hear about the impending closure of Radio FX. I've listened since the original service began in 1988. And Radio FX has clearly demonstrated the viability of commercial shortwave broadcasting. With even the former Eastern Bloc countries opening up their shortwave facilities to commercial enterprises, there can be no excuse for the UK government sanctioning the continuing BBC shortwave monopoly. Radio FX has shown the way forward. Good luck. I'm sure you'll be back. But in the meantime, thanks a lot. I'm going to miss Radio FX.
Hello, my name is Gerald Gray from Southern Oaks. I've just today sent off a letter to the Minister of Communications in Dublin, and I shall shortly be sending one off to my MP, Mark Wolfson. I was really shattered to hear that Radio FX was closing. I really felt very sad to hear that news, because I listened to you way back in 1988, and I was very sad when you disappeared then, and only overjoyed when you managed to come back on the air. And now that you're going again, it really is rather sad. But I hope that there's more to it than meets the eye, and that you will manage to get a licence from somewhere sometime. Because the programmes you put out, particularly Sparks programmes, are really superb. As I said in my letter, which I'll be sending you a copy, it would be very difficult, if not impossible,